Chapter 21. The Deadliest Lie. When you ask the question, does HIV cause AIDS? The question is, does a virus cause a syndrome? How does a virus cause a syndrome? It can't. It was the spring of 2000, and President Thabo Mbeki was sharing his views on AIDS in the National Assembly. Fawning ANC members of parliament tittered approvingly at their leader's cleverness. In 2000, the AIDS lies piled up almost as high as the dead bodies. The country needed a brave and visionary leader to tackle what the president of the Medical Research Council, Professor Malegapuru Makgoba, described as the greatest genocide of our time. Instead, it got Mbeki. The ANC government's bungling of the AIDS crisis started in 1996, 2 years after it came to power, when it funded a big-budget anti-AIDS musical, Sarafina 2. The production, which cost 14 million rand, was a flop. High ticket prices kept poor audiences from seeing it, which turned out to be a good thing because the musical sent confusing and dangerous signals about the disease. Sarafina 2 was produced by playwright Mbongeni Ngema, a friend of Health Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who was exposed as being corrupt and inept when it came to dealing with the growing AIDS crisis. She repeatedly lied to Parliament and the public about the play's funding. But a few months later, the next AIDS scandal knocked the Sarafina hiccup out of the park. Remember how we all laughed when US President Donald Trump suggested injecting bleach into the human body to fight COVID? The South African government beat him to it. It became a cheerleader for Viridine, a miracle cure that contained the toxic industrial solvent diethylformamide, and which was given to AIDS patients in ethically iffy experiments. The Viridine saga started when three researchers, two of whom were members of the University of Pretoria Medical Faculty, presented the wonder drug to Nelson Mandela's cabinet at the beginning of 1997. One of the scientists was Olga Visser, whose claim to fame was that she could thaw a frozen rat's heart and get it beating again. Well, not really. Visser, a cryogenics researcher, flew to Arizona to prove her rodent heart resurrection skills, but unfortunately for the rat, her demonstrations failed. In January 1997, Visser and her handlangers from the University of Pretoria, Professor Dirk Duplessis and Dr. Karl Landauer, brought AIDS patients who had been given Viridine PO58 to testify to ministers about their remarkable recovery. The cabinet members gave the researchers a standing ovation. Within minutes of the presentation, the South African Press Association released a story on the newswires with a headline screaming, "Major breakthrough." It enjoyed national and international attention. It was the biggest development in South African medicine since Chris Barnard's heart transplant. Except these weren't medical pioneers. They were snake oil salesmen who wanted money to continue producing snake oil. The Medicines Control Council, MCC, found a major flaw with Viridine. It was the worst thing to give people with compromised immunity. Diethylformamide can cause fatal liver damage, and the clue may have been in the first three letters of its name. American scientist Dr. Steve Harris said only a damn fool would give something with this record of toxicity to human beings with AIDS. The MCC ordered the Viridine trials to cease, which prompted Dlamini Zuma to initiate a review team to evaluate the MCC. Unsurprisingly, the review team recommended that the MCC itself should cease to exist. The University of Pretoria found the two researchers guilty of misconduct for flouting basic scientific ethics, such as using humans as guinea pigs. Visser was not a member of the university, so she escaped sanction. It was the year after the Viridine fiasco that Mbeki seemed to have gone completely, as the journalist R.W. Johnson put it in The Spectator, off his rocker. He had been splashing about in the murky swamp of AIDS denialism after stumbling on dodgy websites where scientifically discredited AIDS dissidents insisted there was no causal link between HIV and AIDS. Mbeki, who had gone from deputy president to president, appointed his loyal comrade in exile, Manto Tshabalala-Msimang, as his health minister. He He instructed her to establish where the truth lies. Presidents may lie, but the truth never lies. A presidential AIDS advisory panel was established. At least half of its members were quacks with a cunning plan to deal with AIDS: outlaw HIV testing. No tests, no AIDS. Maybe Trump was a member of Mbeki's panel, because 21 years later, when the coronavirus replaced HIV as the virus of doom, he announced, "If we stop testing right now, we'd have very few cases, if any." An actual medical breakthrough occurred when a cocktail of antiretroviral drugs was found to control the virus. It wasn't a cure, but it allowed HIV-positive people to live long and productive lives. But the government delayed launching the ARVs, with Mbeki saying they were toxic and an effort by the West to weaken South Africa. It was a convenient excuse to avoid supplying expensive medication. Mbeki remained steadfast in his view and told the world's top scientists in Durban for the biggest international HIV conference of 2000 that poverty, not HIV, caused AIDS. He also told his ANC comrades that the US Central Intelligence Agency was part of the HIV causes AIDS conspiracy and was working covertly with big pharma manufacturers in the US to undermine him, because by questioning the link between HIV and AIDS, he posed a risk to the profits of drug companies. Paranoid much? By October 2000, Mbeki largely withdrew from making public comments about AIDS and handed the bullshit baton to Tshabalala Msimang. Going against the scientific grain, the government refused to roll out drugs to prevent mother-to-infant HIV transmission. Democracy wasn't very old when anti-apartheid activists dusted off their militancy and aimed it at the government they had helped to bring to power. On 10th December 1998, these activists launched the Treatment Action Campaign with a protest on the steps of Cape Town St. George's Cathedral, demanding that the government introduce AZT for HIV-positive pregnant women and develop a treatment plan for everyone living with HIV/AIDS. The TAC launched an initiative for drug companies to produce cheaper generic ARVs, and although it succeeded, Tshabalala Msimang continued to refuse to make the life-saving drugs available to people in desperate need. The TAC took legal action against Tshabalala Msimang in 2001 and demanded the provision of ARVs for the prevention of mother-to-child transmission. At that stage, 5,000 HIV-positive babies were being born each month. When the Constitutional Court instructed Tshabalala Msimang to provide the drugs to pregnant mothers, she complained that she was being forced to poison her people. It was another 2 years before the health department reluctantly began to roll out ARV treatment. The TAC took on another AIDS grifter who washed up on South African shores, the vitamin peddler Matthias Rath. The TAC described him as the definitive charlatan, but he was armed with huge amounts of money, megalomania, a lack of conscience, and most importantly, the support of Tshabalala Msimang. He ran an unauthorized and illegal clinical trial, discouraged people from taking ARVs, and published newspaper adverts across the country claiming his pills could reverse the course of AIDS. It took two court cases by the TAC to run him out of the country. Tshabalala Msimang also touted her own cure, a cocktail of garlic, lemons, olive oil, and beetroot, as alternatives for ARVs. The country paid a heavy price for Mbeki and Tshabalala Msimang's views that were misguided, negligent. Actually, criminal is a more accurate description. Just how heavy the price was something AIDS activists and researchers debated for years. In 2009, Pride Chigwedere, a Harvard School of Public Health PhD candidate, settled that debate in a doctoral thesis. He calculated that more than 330,000 people died prematurely from HIV/AIDS between 2000 and 2005 due to the Mbeki government's obstruction of life-saving treatment, and at least 35,000 babies were born with HIV infections that could have been prevented. James Chin, a professor of epidemiology at the University of California at Berkeley School of Public Health, called Chigwedere's numbers conservative. As Nathan Geffen, one of the founders of the TAC, points out, many more people would have died without civil society's robust response to Mbeki that resulted in the change in government policy. There's been a lot of speculation about why Mbeki was so obsessed with warped AIDS theories that have been discredited, debunked, and refuted. The former president has kept mostly shtum, but every now and again he publishes one of his letters, which show he hasn't changed his views. Science has brought HIV to its knees, and history will judge Mbeki harshly. Does his conscience ever bother him? Surely the fact that so many ARV-poisoned people with HIV are still alive all these years later must have struck home by now. Mbeki wasn't an eccentric in a tinfoil hat, propping up a bar and spouting conspiracies. He was the president who ignored pleas for help by scientists, doctors, and ordinary people with AIDS. He perpetuated the HIV doesn't cause AIDS lie, a lie that caused untold suffering, set the stage for hundreds of thousands of needless and painful deaths, and led to a generation of AIDS orphans. AIDS denialism has been South Africa's deadliest lie. Mbeki and his late sidekick Tshabalala Msimang have more blood on their hands than anyone else in post-apartheid South Africa. Shower liar. Although it is difficult to believe, it wasn't Thabo Mbeki or Manto Tshabalala Msimang who made the stupidest comments about HIV and AIDS. That dubious honor goes to Mbeki's successor, Jacob Zuma. In Zuma's rape trial in 2006, he said that after having unprotected sex with Fezekile Kuzwayo, the HIV-positive woman who accused him of rape, he showered to minimize the risk of contracting the virus. Zuma, who had led South Africa's AIDS program, was given the nickname Showerhead. Of all the many myths, false claims, and outright lies that have spread about AIDS, the most vicious has been the virgin cleansing fallacy. Word went out that men with AIDS could be cured by having sex with a virgin, an evil lie that led to the rape of children and babies.